You are listening to KLRN Radio, where liberty and reason still reign.
Hi, I'm Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans, America's largest mortgage lender. Spring will be here soon, so if buying a new home is on your to-do list, right now is the time to call Quicken Loans. Learn about which mortgage options make sense for you and get a jump on your competition. With our exclusive Rate Shield approval, the low rate you lock today is protected for up to 90 days while you shop for your new home. With a Rate Shield approval, if rates go up, your low rate stays locked. But if rates go down, you get that new, even lower rate. Either way, you win. Talk to us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com to take advantage. Here's another great reason to work with us. For a record 9 years in a row, J.D. Power has ranked Quicken Loans highest in the nation in customer satisfaction for primary mortgage origination. Again, to lock in today's low mortgage interest rate and get the security of our exclusive Rate Shield approval, call us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com.
For J.D. Power award information, visit jdpower.com. Rate Shield approval only valid on certain 30-year fixed rate loans. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. License in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
Hi, welcome to the Subway ad for the new Sesame Ginger Glazed Chicken Signature Wrap. How would you like it?
I'll take a...
Sports announcer at home?
Yeah, how'd you...
We just know.
My wife picks up the new signature wrap. It's got double the rotisserie-style chicken mixed with a sesame ginger glaze. She appears annoyed at me, but she shrugs it off. Those sweet and savory flavors are calling her name. She lifts the wrap and... She takes the bite! Incredible! And now she's closing the door on my... Subway, make it what you want.
Limited time only at participating restaurants. Double meat basement, average 6-inch sub.
I'm Little Teapot, short and stout.
Here is my handle and here is my spout.
No, Dad, like this. When I get all steamed up, then I shout, tip me over and
pour me out.
This is WWE superstar Roman Reigns. It only takes a moment to make a moment. Take time to be a dad today.
Visit fatherhood.gov, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
KLRN Radio has advertising rates available. We have rates to fit almost any budget. Contact us at advertising@klrnradio.com.
The following program contains coarse language and adult themes. Listener discretion is advised.
It's time now for the Conservative Curmudgeon Radio Show. Now, here's Grouchy.
Radio.com/chat for the full immersion experience, you know? I mean, be selfish. Do it. Anyway, last Wednesday, I understand, was scrapped over technical difficulties. I think it was like the frozen tundra in Oklahoma at the mothership. So I guess there was officially not a Babe of the Month named.
There was not. No, there was no Babe of the Month. Actually, I've been down up until today because... all of the power failures and the random, you know, we're going to shut your shit off without telling you. Yeah, I fried the main machine. So it's taken me basically since last Friday to get the laptop up and running well enough to even do what I'm doing right now. Because having to learn a whole new operating system has been really fucking fun.
Well, there you have it, folks. Now you know what's going on at the mothership in Oklahoma. And we're all up to date, so I guess, okay, I see Aggie says the sound is good. Helvidia says it's good. Yeah, everybody's saying sound is good, Rick, so I guess we're okay. So, being that we are 21 minutes into programming time, strap your ass down because here we go. President Joe Biden has agreed with moderate Democrats in his own party to narrow the eligibility status for stimulus checks, but he did reject a push to trim extra unemployment benefits as he tries to win support for his pandemic relief bill at $1.9 trillion. Hey, but don't worry, because Mitt Romney says interest rates are really low right now, so it's a great time to borrow money. What a moron. Biden and Romney, morons. How about that? So now, the latest on stimulus checks, COVID relief checks, whatever the hell you're wanting to call them. Individuals earning over $80,000 now will not qualify for the payments. That is to be compared to the $100,000 cap in the previous legislation draft. The ceiling for couples will now be $160,000 versus $200,000 as it was written before. Checks start at $1,400 before they begin phasing out. Yes. Okay. Whatever the hell that's supposed to mean. Thanks for nothing, Seymour. That's why you're under the desk right now. Lawmakers are headed toward the final phase of enacting Biden's first, what they want to call, signature legislative package. It should have his signature on it with that price tag. That's enough to choke a generation. With the Senate taking up the relief bill the House passed last week, the changes in the measure could clear the way for passage. While Republicans have opposed the price tag as excessive, the administration says the aid will give a vital lifeline to millions of Americans put out of work by the pandemic. So here's the thing. It's not going to help that much, okay? Because they are limiting who's going to get the money. All right, I get that. I understand why you're limiting, too. What I don't get is why they think that people out of work are going to be able to pay months' worth of bills with $1,400. I don't get it. I really don't. Democrat senators, including Joe Manchin of West Virginia and Jeanne Shaheen of New Hampshire, had advocated tighter targeting to reduce funds being transferred to those who don't need it. Their votes will be critical in passing the legislation given the Senate's 50-50 partisan split and the united GOP opposition. A separate push by moderates to trim supplemental unemployment benefits to $300 a week from the $400 a week in the House will not be included in what is initially brought to the Senate floor. The Senate's so-called manager's amendment to the House bill is expected to keep the House figures, which is a $100 a week increase from the current level through August. Interesting. The language Biden approved gives both the moderate and progressive wings of the Senate Democrat caucus one item they wanted in the final negotiations. The White House declined to comment. Yes, this is how it starts. They start eating at each other. Immediate reactions to the news among Democrats was largely positive because they do know how to stand lockstep, even when they hate each other. This is an appropriate way of bringing this to a successful conclusion, said Senator Michael Bennett of Colorado, Senator Debbie Stabenow of Michigan, a member of the Majority Leader Chuck Schumer's leadership team, said the language Biden agreed to could put Democrats on the track to clear the package later this week. It's a reasonable compromise, Stabenow said. We're in a good spot to get this done. Senator Maria Cantwell of Washington, by contrast, said, I think the package as it had been crafted was good to go. She said, I think the people need money. For the stimulus checks, phasing out of the $1,400 payments starting at $75,000 per individual and $150,000 for couples, the same as said in the House. That's what she wanted to keep. But she said, I think we knew it would drop below $200,000 and still provide help to households that need it. What I want to know is, what the hell does Jean Shaheen think she knows about what people need in the real world? She has no clue. Biden met with nine moderate Democrats at the White House earlier this week as he sought their support in enacting his first piece of legislation. The House version of the bill must be tweaked as some of its elements were found to violate congressional rules. We all know that that is the minimum wage hike, which they're still vowing to get done. And we've already got Republicans kowtowing to trying to negotiate with them on this as a separate bill, which is disgusting. But, you know, go figure, Mitt Romney's right in the middle of it. Democrats are aiming to resolve their outstanding differences before the amendment process known as the Votorama stage. And that could begin as soon as tomorrow. Once that starts, the danger, they say, is that Republicans could reshape some of the provisions by peeling just one Democrat off and splintering the party. And due to splits among Democrats over both the direct payment cap and the level of the added unemployment benefit, those provisions could still be altered during that session. Senator Ron Wyden of Oregon wanted to do a different approach and give individuals a $400 monthly check through August, and he actually declined comment on all these new positions. So Ron's not a happy camper. What can I tell you? Schumer's pledged to complete the package in time to get it to Biden before the extra jobless benefits expire on March 14th. They better get their ass to hustling. Now, okay, Rick, I'm being told there's a bit of static building up now on the sound. So I don't know where that's from, but anyway, this is kind of a sad story, a little bit, you know, but it's for the right reasons. And I think that go ahead, Rick.
No, I was just trying to clean you up. Still got static or no?
Aggie says it's like clicking sounds.
That's weird. It's not coming through over here at all.
I hope it's not my nose. I did spray, so I mean, I shouldn't be stopped up or anything.
Yeah, it's weird. It's not coming through at all over here, so I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. If you're still hearing static or clicking in the chat room, please comment after Aggie. But anyway, I'm going to press on. We're still tight on time. And there's a quote. Sadly, journalism has changed a lot since I first stepped into a newsroom. And I'll be honest, I don't like the direction it's going. That's a quote from Emmy Award-winning news anchor Kari Lake, and she said that in a video explaining why she's quitting after a successful 22-year career with Arizona television station KSAZ. She said the media's bias, dishonesty, and encouragement of fear and division has robbed her of the pride she once took in her profession. Strong words. Okay, saying good to go now, Rick. The media needs more balance in coverage and a wider range of viewpoints represented in every newsroom at every level in each position, she said. In the past few years, I haven't felt proud to be a member of the media. I'm sure there are other journalists out there who feel the same way. I just found myself reading news copy that I didn't believe was fully truthful or only told part of the story. And quite frankly, I can't stand it anymore. I began to feel that I was contributing to the fear and division in this country by continuing on in this profession. It's been a serious struggle for me, and I no longer want to do this job anymore. So I've decided the time is right to do something else, and I'm leaving. Not everyone is dedicated to telling the truth, but thankfully many of you have figured that out, Lake says. I mean, this is strong. This is walking away from an Emmy Award-winning 22-year journalism career because she's disgusted with what news media has become. I can't applaud her enough. I hope she has something else lined up. I truly and honestly do. I want her to be successful. She speaks truth and... You know, I mean, she laid it out there and she's walking away. She's turning her back on the disgustingness that is now what I call pseudo journalism. It's not real journalism anymore. So, yeah, I mean, there's that going on. Let's see what else is going on. Oh yeah. There's, I know you guys might've heard something about this, while today's cancel culture is denouncing Dr. Seuss, alleging his work contains racist content, both then-President Barack Obama and First Lady Michelle Obama have celebrated Seuss's beloved children's books and encouraged young Americans to learn the lessons they teach. On Monday, it was reported that six of Seuss's books have been discontinued due to complaints by those who suddenly find the books offensive. But at a White House gathering in 2015, then-President Obama, an African-American, said, quote, "Pretty much all the stuff you need to know about how to treat others can be learned from Dr. Seuss." Bam. The former president said in 2015, yeah, the same thing. Why is that in there twice? But he was speaking to a group of White House interns, emphasizing Seuss's message of inclusivity, written into many of his children's books, and naming the Sneetches and Horton Hears a Who as examples. We're the same. So why should we treat somebody differently just because they don't have a star on their belly? He asked the group. If I think about responsibility, I think about Horton sitting on the egg up there in the tree while Lazy Maisie's flying off doing whatever she wants. Know what I mean? He liked to say that. Know what I mean? He said, I've been quoted as saying this sometimes. Most of what you need to learn, you can actually just read Dr. Seuss to get. Ta-da. Likewise, First Lady Michelle Obama celebrated Seuss's birthday in 2015, reading to a group of costume-clad children on Read Across America Day, which was yesterday, created Seuss's honor by the National Education Association. First Lady Michelle Obama celebrated Seuss's birthday Tuesday by reading The Cat in the Hat to a group of children wearing red and white striped stovepipe hats, like the book's main character. Some of the first family's favorite children's books are Horton Hatches the Egg by Dr. Seuss and Where the Wild Things Are by Marie Sendak, Mrs. Obama said in a response to one of the children's questions. So here's the thing. If Barack and Michelle Obama are okay, and more than okay with Dr. Seuss, and it's woke whiteys that are having the problem with it, is it really a problem? And by the way, I ordered all six books off of Amazon before they're gone. I know there'll always probably be a supply of used ones, but I just wanted the new ones to have and know that I got them. And screw everybody else that doesn't want them. I don't really care. Sound cutting out again, Rick. 1 minute ago.
That was a latency
issue. I don't. Okay. Computer fart, network fart, whatever. We're good. A sprawling airbase in Iraq that serves as one of the most consequential hubs for the U.S.-led military presence there came under attack last Wednesday morning. Was it last Wednesday? I don't think so. I think it was like yesterday Wednesday there. Or like today Wednesday. I don't know what the time difference is. It's like 12 or 13 hours, some shit like that. I don't know. So anyway, Wednesday morning by 10 rockets. The perpetrator was not immediately clear, and Iraqi authorities were still conducting an investigation as of Wednesday morning. However, Iraqi officials issued carefully crafted statements shortly afterward that indicate they believe Iran was behind the attack. Pentagon spokesman John Kirby said in a statement, one U.S. civilian contractor had a heart attack while sheltering during the strike and later died. No uniformed U.S. troops were injured, Kirby said. The U.S. cannot attribute responsibility for the attack, he said, deferring to the Iraqi investigation, which is basically leading from behind. The provocative attack comes at a time of escalating tensions between Tehran and Washington following a U.S. airstrike on a Syrian position last week, housing pro-Iranian militia. The retaliatory strike, which American officials say they hope has restored deterrence with Iran, was in response to a string of attacks by pro-Iranian militia in Iraq against a series of U.S. installations there. Wednesday's rocket attack risks further spikes in violence at a time the Biden administration is desperately attempting to coerce Iran to return to diplomatic negotiations. It comes as the U.S. is attempting to broker diplomacy in the region as Pope Francis is planning to visit to Iraq later this week. So, yeah, I see the bullcrap. Yeah, exactly, in the chat room. Exactly right. Lots of bullcrap here. So we know that next week, while the Pope is in Iraq, Iran could well try to attack. It would not be beyond the realm of possibility. As a matter of fact, I think it's more likely than not likely. Spokesman Army Colonel Wayne Morado tweeted early Wednesday that 10 indirect fire rockets had struck Al-Asad Air Base in central Iraq, roughly 150 miles northwest of Baghdad. It houses troops from the U.S.-led coalition combating the Islamic State and other extremists in Iraq and Syria. Indirect fire refers to the common method of attack by insurgent forces in American war zones in the Middle East, involving projectiles often activated remotely and lobbed at targets rather than fired directly at them. So you're telling me after all this time they're still just firing Scuds? They're saying that makes it more difficult to identify the perpetrators immediately and to defend against them. You know, we had a president just a couple of months ago that was trying to bring those troops home. If they weren't there, they wouldn't be fired upon. It's just one thought. Do what you will with it. Let's see. Iraq's senior leaders referenced the attack at a previously scheduled meeting Wednesday morning to discuss diplomatic efforts and the Pope's upcoming visit. The officials did not blame Iran overtly for orchestrating the attack. However, statements attributed to the commander-in-chief of Iraq's security forces at the meeting can only be interpreted as a clear warning to Tehran to cease its provocative actions, so say analysts. Who cares about analysts? really, I mean, according to a translation of an Arabic readout of the meeting released early Wednesday, the commander said his forces were focusing on militant parties operating outside the Iraqi government's decision-making process and stressed the importance of Iraq's distancing itself from regional and international competitions for power. It's a clear message to Iran and to its Iraqi proxies not to use Iraq in the former's escalation with the United States, says Randa Slim, a regional expert and senior fellow at the Middle East Institute. There's a Middle East Institute? Of course there is. It's got to be full of white people that are going to tell you exactly how Arabs think. Right? President Biden has appeared eager in recent weeks to break from his predecessor and not bring troops home and put more troops in the Middle East and adopt a more conciliatory approach with Tehran. So we're back to the ass-kissing and genuflecting of the Ayatollah to bring them back into negotiations regarding its nuclear program. Iran has said such talks are impossible until the White House lifts the crippling sanctions that President Trump imposed as part of his maximum pressure campaign after walking away from the last nuclear agreement. A strike the U.S. carried out against pro-Iran forces in Syria on Friday was seen as a calculated attempt not to escalate tensions with Iran, notably that it did not take place in Iraq and risk further inflaming pro-Iranian militia violence there. Yeah. So the rocket attacks against bases housing U.S. forces in February came as Iran also seeks revenge for Trump's decision to take out Iranian General Qasem Soleimani, who was responsible for coordinating Shiite Muslim militias in Iraq. You remember that drone strike? That was actually a good drone strike, unlike some other presidents who just drone strike kids at birthday parties. Speculation has emerged that Iran may still not control the Iraqi militias as closely as it did during Soleimani's tenure. However, Kirby told reporters last week that the Defense Department still considers the forces aligned with Tehran. Wrong answers only. Yeah. Centerfire suppositories. How's the wrong answer for that, Raptor? Let's see. Starting to get tight on time, but we're going to do this, I think. Yeah, we are. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis. You might have heard of him. He has seen his star rise over the last year as Republicans look to him as a potential successor to former President Trump. DeSantis's profile grew early on after he took his cue from Trump by not shutting down his state in response to the coronavirus pandemic. Though Florida has suffered some losses from the pandemic, the governor's approach earned him broad support from conservatives and even now many in his own state. Since then, DeSantis has only grown more popular among the Republican Party's grassroots, with some already pushing for him to be the 2024 presidential nominee. Here's a quote. "What's so appealing about Ron is very simple. He's the most influential and important person in the state that is the Republican Party center of the universe right now," said Florida-based Republican strategist Ford O'Connell. Recent statewide polling shows DeSantis' popularity on the uptick. A survey from Mason-Dixon Polling and Strategy released on Monday found the governor with a 53% approval rating, up from his 45% approval rating last July. And a lot of this is where the media won't report, is basically due to the fact that DeSantis is standing up delivering hard facts and numbers, and the fourth most populous state in the country is comparing their COVID death numbers to other states like New York and California, and they are way better. And it drives them and the media crazy. Now, DeSantis's growing support was on full view at the recent CPAC conference. CPAC conference, because the C is for conference, which was held in his home state in Florida, Orlando. We had a contingent from KLRN radio there, and I'm sure they did us proud. I don't know what the bar tab was yet in total, but I'm working to find that out. DeSantis is, like I say, governor delivered the opening remarks from the stage in Orlando and later emerged as the top 2024 candidate behind Trump in a straw poll. Now, look, I don't want people to get too excited about Trump in 2024. I honestly don't think he's going to run. My opinion. I think with his age where it is, I think, and again, this is just me. We can mark this down and we'll, as that moronic, insipid witch at the White House press briefing says, we'll circle back to it later and see if I'm right. I believe Trump wants to take up the role of kingmaker in the Republican Party. I think he wants to put candidates in office that are going to be strong America First type candidates. I think that's going to be his goal. We'll see. I just don't think he wants to deal with all that hassle again. So the decision to hold the annual conservative gathering in the Sunshine State was directly tied to DeSantis's handling of the pandemic. Unlike other states that impose statewide shutdowns in response to the coronavirus, DeSantis has kept Florida relatively open, leaving many decisions on shutdowns and mandates to the counties. If you know anything about Florida, you know that we are always made fun of. Florida man, Florida woman, said Charles Hart, the chairman of the Orange County Republican Party. We're not Florida man, Florida woman anymore. We're the free state of Florida now. Despite Republican praise heaped upon DeSantis, the pandemic has hit the state a little hard. Over the last week, it's been among, you know, over the last week, they want to nitpick about the last week's numbers. around 31,000 deaths have been recorded in the state since the start of the pandemic. Hell, Cuomo killed more senior citizens than that. I mean, come on. Let's see, yada, 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 comparable to other states, California, New York, much higher numbers of positive cases and deaths. We know all this. We really do. We know it all. And basically, DeSantis says we're prioritizing our senior citizens for vaccinations. They've just opened Florida up to include educators over 50. They're going through. They're doing the process. I think he's doing a fantastic job as somebody that's in a neighboring state. I kind of wish we were on the same trajectory, but we're not. So anyway, other names that have been swirling around, the normal names, you know, you got the Rubios and the Cruises and things like that. Another name that's starting to get a little attention is Senator Rick Scott from Florida, former governor, and South Dakota Governor Kristi Noem, who came in behind DeSantis in the straw poll, third place. Strong showing for her. Strong showing for her through the pandemic, too. So kudos to her and the free state of South Dakota. So, as we get tight on time here, you know how we like to end the show every week, right? We got to do this positive note thing. So here we go. Business owners looking to get the most bang for their buck, especially their advertising bucks, routinely devote their budget to media buys. But for one Wisconsin restaurateur, his optimum return on investment came from an entirely different source. He promoted the competition. Now, I want you to think about that for a minute. He actually promoted Raptor. That's awesome. That is awesome. Raptor did a 7-mile run today. That is wicked cool. I don't have time to run that far during the week. I do that on weekends. I'm building back up to it after the foot thing. But anyway, yeah. More power to you, brother. Okay, so anyway, back to the story. Adolfo Melendez, who owns the Tex-Mex eatery El Mezcal, knows firsthand the impact the coronavirus pandemic has had on the restaurant industry. Family-based local places like his own have especially been hit hard. It's perhaps why he understands better than most that small businesses aren't simply a source of revenue. They are the heart, soul, vision, sweat equity, lives and livelihoods of the people behind them. People who are your friends and neighbors, people Adolfo Melendez believes in because he's one of them. To help stave off restaurant cutbacks and closures in his community, Melendez purchased more than $2,000 in gift cards to other neighborhood eateries and has been raffling them off to his customers via Facebook. Olympia Family Restaurant owner Pete Anitis truly appreciates the selfless gesture. He said, in these COVID times, it's very important to eat local, small mom-and-pop shops. He said Adolfo understands that because he's one of them. In the best of times, the restaurant business can be competitive, but diversity is what gives a community its flavor. Adolfo Melendez appreciates flavor. He appreciates his peers. He understands that their success is an affirmation of his own, and he encourages his community to join his efforts to ensure other restaurants continue not only to hold their own, but to thrive. He said, that's part of what keeps us alive. You can go to Applebee's and you can go to Pizza Hut, but it's not the same like when you go to this little diner or pizza joint. If you help one person and another person helps another, that helps a lot. And that is our positive note for the day. I can't believe I blew through everything as quickly as I did. I was trying to set the time a little better, maybe get us a couple minutes further, but Rick, I think I'm done, man. I think I'm done. If that's the show.
Hey, you said blue.
Yeah, I mean, you know.
You said blue.
What's that?
You said blue.
Yeah, I said blue through it. Like a hooker on Fleet Week. guys and girls, that's the show. If you like it, tell your friends. If your friends like it, you need new ones. But they and you are welcome right here with me on KLRN Radio, America's podcast network, every Wednesday night for the Conservative Curmudgeon Show. I'm your host, The Grouch. Peace.
I hate this place. Nothing works here. The medications don't work. I've been here for 7 years.
Here's to us. Here's to love. All the times that we messed up. Here's to you. Feel the grass. Cause the last few nights have kicked my ass. If they give you hell, it's time to go fuck themselves.
Go fuck here's themselves.
To us.